Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. If you have a topic suggestion or a guest you would like us to book, just email us at wadeandwillie@gmail.com. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. He's a songwriter and a music producer. It's Chris Qualls. What up, Chris?
Hello. Thank you guys for having me. Stoked to be here.
Thanks for being here. You're in like a sort of, I want to say Outrun, but they're the wrong colors. What is that eliciting for me?
The A team, not really, but it's there are maybe a few colors. And then
here's
also
my inspiration for it.
Oh, fucking cool.
I had this motorcycle helmet that I loved. So when we moved into this place, I was like, I got to do something cool with the back bedroom office / video game hub.
I think the Transformer Trailblazer had that pattern on.
There was a bunch of old like 70s trucks that had that kind of pattern going on.
Mm-hmm. For some reason they were always brown and then they had that on it. Well, thanks for being here. So you're a songwriter and music producer. You helped us this movie that it's a fucking albatross. We've yet to finish it. But like 2 or 3 years ago, we came to you and you did a little guitar solo for us. So that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was fun.
It was fun.
In general, what kind of music do you do? Are you like a band guy or you do a lot of like television movie type stuff or what?
Actually, both of those. So I grew up as a band guy. Touring. I had a project, a little dance pop project started back in the MySpace days called Electric Valentine. Willie knows it pretty well. We actually did a house party at his house.
Yeah, I was there. I was there.
Oh, amazing. and that kind of like turned into writing songs for other people and producing for other people. And then I got a publishing deal with Concord Music Publishing and spent a good amount of the last 10 years writing for other people. And as the music industry shifted, it made sense to kind of focus more on sync. So I have been doing a lot of music for TV shows and movies and that kind of stuff lately. But all sorts of music. It really depends on who I work with that week. It's kind of fun because it can be like a hip-hop artist on Monday and then an alt-pop artist on Tuesday and then a country artist on Wednesday. So it's all over the place, man, and I love it. It keeps it from getting boring.
And I will say I'm basically a fan of everything you do, man. Look up Nightshade. Look up, I mean, Electric Valentine had a song on Dance Central, best fucking dance game of all time.
Loved that game.
Congrats. That's pretty
loved
cool.
That game, dude. Missed that.
Tidal Babes, So What, Who Cares? Like the music that you're making, always good, dude.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Willie.
Do you score or how does that work when you're working with these?
I have done score stuff. I've scored 2 movies at this point and like a lot of other like more minor cues and stuff. But for the most part, a typical session for me will usually be with a person I've never met before. They come to the studio. I have to, within like the first hour, kind of get a vibe not only for who they are and the best way to bring the best art out of them, but also like what their label is looking for, what their publishing company is looking for, as far as like emotion and genre. So it's a lot of flowing with what needs to be done in the studio. Sometimes that's score stuff. I did this. I developed these really cool goth twins for a while called Satin Puppets. And that was like almost entirely orchestral stuff. But a lot of it ends up being kind of like indie pop, more upbeat, boppy kind of stuff, which we'll usually start with like a guitar, a piano, write the basics of a melody, work on the production and the lyrics at the same time, and then record the vocals after we have the song written or as we're going. So It's a lot of everything. It can be score. It can be piano ballads. It can be hip hop songs. It really just depends on the day.
You musicians are like insane to me. Like how many instruments do you play?
Anything that isn't like a brass instrument. Like I understand the concept of it, but like how to get your mouth to make that sound. I've never been able to do it. So I just kind of,
I could only do brass. I couldn't do reed. Have you ever blown on a saxophone and had that make a noise? I can't do that.
I've never tried. There's an old saxophone that's in my attic from when my dad was in band growing up, but I've never tried. First band I was ever in when I was in ninth grade was a ska band. So it was with a bunch of the band nerds from my high school. Yeah. And every time I would try and pick up their instruments and play, it would just sound really stupid. And that kind of discouraged me from that point on. And now that I understand music theory a lot more, I haven't really picked one back up. But the last song I did actually was with a really like top tier trombonist. Uh-huh. And he brought his trombone into my studio, and it was just amazing seeing him play, because it's been a while since I've actually recorded live brass. And so to see him do what he does, I was kind of awestruck a little bit. Shout out Darius Christian, great trombone, great Christian? Singer. Yeah.
I got to look him up because my dad is an old army trombonist.
Oh, he plays. So he was doing, he was playing live with Macklemore for a long time, and he just got off tour with Mumford and Sons. So he's like, you know, top tier session guy.
That's cool.
We just had a song come out together. Actually, we did a dance pop song that has live trombones in it called Let Me Get a Minute. So there we go. We're 5 minutes in and I've already plugged something, right, guys?
Good. Let me get a minute. Yeah. Don't you think the trombone is cheating though? Because like if you hit the wrong note, you just have to like inch it a little bit. You just have to kind of change it.
Just artistically bend into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just it seems like head. Cheating to me. But I'm a drummer, so I don't even know notes. So whatever.
Fair enough.
Is there a type of music that you like to listen to? And is there a type of music that you like to write? And are they the same type of music or is it different?
Oh, great question. I feel like a lot of people give the standard, I listen to all types of music.
Sure.
And I really do, but half of it I do for like the educational value from it. Like
right.
Trying to keep up with what's current. I would say my favorite genre to listen to is probably guitar-driven upbeat indie pop and hip-hop. That's what I find myself listening to the most when I'm just like in a car by myself putting something on, just vibing out to what I want to listen to. And that generally is not my favorite type of style to produce. I like a little bit more of the like electronic dance pop when it comes to production, and a little bit more of like the live drums, live guitar sound when I'm listening to stuff. So there's kind of a little bit of a difference there. But most of the time, either way, I like it upbeat.
All right. I mean, I feel you. But what about like Cat Stevens, man?
There is value in every artist. And even if I don't love Cat Stevens, I can get something out of listening to them.
Yeah. Well, I do the same thing with movies. Like I try and watch every movie because, you know, it's like, well, why did this get made? And like, what do these guys know that I don't?
Right.
So, yeah, that's cool, man.
Do you find that knowing so much about movies and being so analytical about them has kind of ruined being able to just enjoy it on a surface level?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like it has to be like such a good movie that I get lost and I stop thinking about that stuff. Otherwise I'm going like, what minute are we in? What's the plot point here? Like, where's the story arc? So
yeah,
it's totally ruined.
Same with music for me. But like you said, there are the ones that like really shine through because they take you out of that because they're just so good at what they do.
Yeah. What's the most famous person? Unless you signed an NDA or something, like what's the most famous person you work with?
I mean, I started off with like a huge bang when I was in high school. Travis Barker from Blink 182 managed us and like put us on a bunch of Blink shows and recorded a song with us.
Wow.
And this was, you know, like in the early 2000s when that shit like really mattered. So
yeah.
Crazy.
That was kind of how it started. And then the first artist that I ever did songs with that wasn't my band was Jeffree Star in the MySpace era when he was just on everyone's top eight all the time and like doing Warp Tour and stuff.
Him, I don't know.
Oh, well, that'd be an interesting deep dive for you to go on at some point.
Yeah.
He was like a shock value artist in the MySpace.
Oh, yeah. I just did image search and it's like, okay.
Well, now he has like a mega, mega popular makeup empire going on. So he's done, he's done very well for himself. I would say since then, the Used, 5 Seconds of Summer, a lot of, I mean, I've done a lot of cool stuff, but like, I don't know if anything will ever beat being like 19 years old and getting to do a song with Travis Barker when like pop punk was the biggest thing in the world, you know?
Yeah. Is that what type of band you guys were? You said ska, but was that the same band?
No. So I was in a ska band in high school, and then me and some of the other guys from different bands in high school formed essentially like an all-star band that was like very pop punk, like very influenced by Blink 182 and like MXPX and Sum 41 and all that stuff that was happening then. So I ditched all the ska guys and started playing with
they were nerds, best musicians. Anyway.
They were actually really sweet guys.
No, come on, they're nerds. They're not listening.
They were really, really sweet nerds.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about conspiracy theories and stuff like that. Are you into that stuff? Do you spend your time like on YouTube looking into this kind of stuff or not?
Oh, I love it. I'm absolutely fascinated by it. I will go down wormholes, rabbit holes sometimes and spend like whole entire nights looking at that stuff. I feel like I'm skeptical but open to anything, you know? Like, yeah. I don't trust all the stuff that's out there, but I do know enough to know I know very little and that there is so much out there beyond my comprehension. So I'm really open to any of it. And it's like very, very fascinating to me.
Okay. Well, we do something here on the show called the Wow Scale. It's a 5-question quiz and it stands for Waiter Willie. I'll ask you 5 questions. At the end of the 5 questions, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie, because I'm kind of the skeptic. Willie's kind of the believer. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to be Wade on the Wow Scale?
Yes.
All right, here we go. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes.
Shit. Okay. Where are you from?
Riverside, California.
Okay, so kind of out here.
Mm-hmm. SoCal, born and raised.
Okay. Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't believe in like ghosts, how people traditionally view them. No.
Yeah, what do you think? It's like residual energy or something? That's what we get a lot.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I believe something happens, but I don't know what it is. But I don't know if there's like people sticking around to haunt and like complete one last task or something.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool though, if you die and then the universe is just like one more thing?
Yeah.
And you get like a task, and for the first time in your life you're like, oh, I just need to accomplish this thing, and there's no more questions. That would be awesome. All right, question number 3. Bigfoot.
Probably something that has been amplified in like folk tales. Like, I bet there was some weird...
Oh, so you don't believe in it. You think it's just like the telephone chain of...
Yep.
Okay.
Has been exaggerated from some weird, like, mutant bear or something like that, you know?
yeah. With mange or whatever. Have you seen a bear with mange? They look just like Bigfoot. Okay. Was 9/11 an inside job?
Oh. Wow. Great question. Maybe. Like, I'm right in the middle on that, where like it very well could be. And I believe some of the stuff I hear, but like, I don't know for sure. I would say there's got to be some kind of cover up. I don't think it was like our own government, like trying to take us to war necessarily. I'm not saying it's not that, but I don't believe that's what it is. But I do think there is way more to the story.
No, I'm going to give him a yes. I feel like his answer is...
Yeah.
All right. The multiverse.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I have a crazy story about this. This is going to sound wild, right?
But no, please. If you have a story about any of these, we want to hear it.
There was an incident that happened in 2022 to me where I feel... That sounds so bonkers. So...
This is a safe space.
I died in 2022 and got pulled into a different version of the universe.
So I have questions immediately. Did you actually die? Was there an accident?
No, this was in the middle of the night. Immediately after it happened, I wrote everything down because I was like, you know how shit fades and shit changes over time. I was like, I need to document this right now because this is by far the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. But essentially, it was about 2 a.m. I woke up to what was what I thought was an earthquake, everything rumbling, and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I looked out my window at the time. My wife and I lived in Echo Park towards downtown, which was to the right of me out the window. There was this huge flash of light that just came straight at us. What I felt like vaporized me. And then everything stretched to like what felt like an eternity all at once. And then all of a sudden I was back sitting in bed and everything was numb on my body. And I was freaking out. And Lindsay was in the back room and I like had to call to her, hey, did you feel any of that? And she was like, what are you talking about? And since then, I feel like I've been in a different parallel universe. So,
wow, dude, that's amazing.
We definitely should talk about that. Do you still have that list? Because I want to know.
Yeah, I have it. I have it on my phone. I could read that.
Let's save it. Yeah, Let's save it for the that's more awesome. Because we usually don't have anything to talk about. So it's like a perfect thing to lead us into it. That's fucking crazy.
Is the second podcast for your Patreon subscribers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to hear a very cool story, be sure to sign up for the Wade and Willie Patreon.
Patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Thank you very much for the plug. I'm going to give you a 4. You're like teetering on a 3 or a 4, but I'm going to go 4 because you believe that you've entered a new dimension. And I feel like that deserves a point.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah.
So congratulations on being a 4. And Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the mysterious flight of Rafael Pacheco Perez in 1976. Was he taken control of by an alien that had a message for humanity? Or was it just an impossible hoax? Because his plane also moved in an impossible paranormal way and across some distance. And there's data to prove that all. Let's hear about it all tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. So this thing happened in 1976. There's a lot of like recorded data on it. They have the logs, the radar, some recordings of the stuff that happened. But basically this dude was flying. He was a student, 23 years old, flying some tiny plane. Flight should take an hour to 90 minutes.
Where is he?
In Mexico.
Okay.
So this thing went viral recently from Mr. Ballin. He told the story. They found the info and then Area 52 did a big piece on it. There was an interview from 2012, but nobody had heard the story before. Mm. And, you know, there's audio files out there from this conversation that happened. So this dude's flying, right? His instructor was like, shit, man, it's been 2 hours and this kid hasn't landed yet. We better start looking for him. He probably crashed. And then all of a sudden they find out he is 300 kilometers away, over 3 hours away. And they're like, yeah, this kid showed up on our radar and we're trying to land him because he doesn't know where he's at. So just to get this out of the way real quick, the impossible part of this flight was his plane really wouldn't have been able to fly this distance. And then when he landed, he had a full tank of gas. And he's such a new pilot that if he were to fly, he would have had to have gone over some mountains that he wasn't trained in how to fly over yet, really high.
Yeah.
And this is all on record. It's pretty cool that they have such a good record of this crazy event. What happened into his flight?
Just to clarify, he's been missing for a total of 2 hours, but he's 3 hours away.
The flight from where he was should have taken him 3 hours to get where he was.
Okay. And it took 2 hours and he has a full tank of gas and he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's still in the air at this point. Well, the guy working the tower is like, hey, the Acapulco, you know, we're like, who are you? What's going on? It's all in Spanish. And so a lot of this stuff they have audio files of, which is cool.
Yeah. He's like, no me gusta. And they're like, lo siento.
So
those are my two Spanish phrases. I don't
know. Yeah, right. I biblioteca. That's all I know.
Zapatería.
All of a sudden, his voice kind of sounds monotone, and he starts saying this. The person. So this is the message. The person who speaks is from another planet. I come in peace. I do not want to harm the pilot or anyone else. I understand that the pilot is in a hypnotic state. And he's like, you are doing it from a distance through the pilot, correct? And correct. He is only speaking because he's ordered to do so. So this is his voice. He is speaking, but he's not do it by his will. We are using him as if we are using a microphone. It does not really matter who we are or where we are from. It is enough for you to know that we are beings who inhabit this universe, the same one to which you belong. Our planet is many light years away from yours. You only need to pass this along. We are physically identical to you. I repeat, all races of the universe are physically the same. You only need to know that you are not alone in the universe and that there are other races far from you, but we are watching.
Bunker. So that means aliens look just like us. That's what they're saying, right? We all look like humans.
Uh-huh. Which you know, through all of the stories of people meeting aliens, there's so many of them where they're like, yeah, just look like humans. Like the guy who built the Integratron. They're like, these people claim they're from Venus and they look just like us. Oh, there's so many stories of humans.
Do you believe it? Like, do you think, here's the problem. There's so many, like, and it's not like you have to take a side, but there's so many just conflicting stories about aliens and shit like that. So like, what are you more prone to believe at this point?
You know, we've seen life on Earth in the animal realm. We've seen animals pop up in different spots and then evolve the same. So I'm open to think, I've always in my mind thought that, well, yeah, why wouldn't the human shape be able to form anywhere else? Even if we're so unique and we came from just a sun, and sure, a lot of things needed to happen, water, all the things. And we think we're so rare.
All the Goldilocks shit, right?
Yeah. But then you look at how many planets and solar systems actually look the same. We know there's all these different types of stars, but how many of them are the same, and how many Goldilocks situations that we see out there? There's hundreds of thousands already identified. So I'm open to believe that humanoid creatures could be out there, but I also don't think that's the whole thing. You know, I think that octopi in a million years could actually be smart enough to get off the planet too. So
yeah. Chris, what do you think? Like, did you know about this at all before? Did you look into this at all? Or is this all news to you as well?
Like I was saying earlier, this stuff fascinates me. So when Willie sent me the video about the topic, I watched the entire thing and then rewatched parts of it again. I meet everything with like a definitely some skepticism, but there are some weird things about it. So like my initial thing was like, oh, okay, what if he was just like bipolar, like multiple personality disorder, and one of his other personalities took over and was talking to the tower at that point? Yeah. That was my initial reaction. But then some of the shit about like him being a student pilot and not being able to like actually make the flight that was necessary to get to where he was very interesting to me. And the fuel thing as well. If everything that is reported is true, which is another like level of skepticism in itself. Right. But like, if all of that shit is true, there do seem to be some facts that are like, okay, well then how did he make it 3 hours away in 90 minutes and have that much fuel? Like that is crazy to me. But at the same time, like this shit was in the 70s in Mexico, and you know, like it's people on YouTube talking about it. So
there could be errors and
yes, but it's fascinating to me. And I'd like to think that it was,
you know what you just raised a question in my brain. Has there ever been a case of like schizophrenia or something, where one of the personalities like actually has a skill that the person didn't have. Do you guys know?
I mean, definitely is something I'm going to look up. I do not know. That's, you know, oh no, Richard plays the piano, not me.
Because you hear about people who like go into a coma and then they come out and they're like gay or they speak a different language or something like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know? Speaking a different language was one of the things that popped up in this video where the tower air traffic control guy was talking to what was supposed to be the extraterrestrial being at the time and asked him questions in German, and the pilot answered in English, both languages, you know, he wasn't supposed to be fluent in at all.
And so, supposedly afterwards, they tested this guy. They tried to see if he knew German or English. And then also he got a mental health check when he landed to see if he was sane.
And it's all clear. Do you know what happened to this guy? Like, what did he just go on and live his life? And that
he never flew again. And the interview from 2012, he was kind of offended by the whole thing, going like, these things act like they're benevolent, but they took control of me, which I didn't like, you know? So he's like against it.
And, aliens. So that's a big word here. You better learn it.
Let me read this real quick too, because this is, so the comptroller that there, this information is out there too, this interview that this guy had. And so it goes a little bit deeper. He's like, how is it that you can speak to me in Spanish? And the entity says, what happens is that among many things we can do, we can speak the language of the world or any other world. And so it's interesting with this thing, I'll keep going for a second, but one of the comments of someone who heard, because the Spanish dialogue is out there, and it's like, yeah, it's weird because they definitely made some weird mistakes while speaking in Spanish, you know, verbs or conjugations or something like that.
The pilot did?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, some of them were very weird.
That's interesting. Yeah. Because that would mean like, if he's faking it, he would have to intentionally fuck up the language. Yeah. Right.
And then, so he says, and since my native language was always German, he said, well, let's see if you can really speak any language. And he spoke in German. And that's when the thing answered the question back in English. And was like, I understand you're German. And I also speak English.
What's funny about this is like, there's a plane. They don't know where it came from. And they're taking the time to be like, nah, this guy can't be an alien. Let's test him in German. And he's just up there going like, I don't know where to land.
Yeah. At this point, he should be out of gas, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, they should be like, we got to land this fucking guy. But they're just like, let's quiz him on languages.
and you know, this entity also requested to be on a channel that couldn't be recorded. But I guess the recording came out because some other people were just listening to that channel and started recording it. So it wasn't like an official recording.
Like fucking ham radio guys or something.
Yeah. So he says this, I keep asking why they're giving me this kind of information. Why this spoke about the world coming to an end and self-destruction among countries. And why are you telling me? And the entity says, we cannot make communication with just anyone. With you, we can. So it was just like a specific situation where it worked out where they could communicate then.
Why the time jump? Why this guy? Like, where did he go during him and the plane? Where did they go for like the 2 hours they were supposed to be flying but weren't? Now that the alien is saying that, it's like, okay, so there's some sort of like, he's got to fly into this zone and then like we can get him there. You know what I mean? It's like our tractor beam can only get him at this point or whatever. I don't know. I'm just thinking about that.
The entity said that we were close to a global catastrophe. We're the only beings in the universe who have a self-destructive mind, and that on the contrary, that we're positive and creative. Like, oh, that's, you know, this all falls in line with like 70s hippy dippy. Also this other time, there was a news channel in England and a message came in from an alien supposedly, oh, you guys are killing yourselves. And it's funny because it's like it would be something that anybody could make up and is very true.
Yeah.
But also it would make sense for an alien entity to be like, the fuck you guys doing? So it's both sides of the same coin where it's like, that's what they would say. That's what anybody would say. So I'm like, well, fuck. Okay. What else you got? Because that's my thing. It's like whenever there's aliens channeling, I'm like, okay, is there any information that this person's mind never heard or new information, new science. You know, that's what I'm always looking for. And most of the time it's always like, well, you wouldn't understand because you guys are wrong about physics, but I can't tell you why, or that your science is wrong. So anyways, let me just finish this up real quick so we can get on to talking. Basically that we have the power to annihilate in an instant all of our modern apparatuses and atomic weapons. He noted that they had the power to change the color of their aircraft so that Earthlings couldn't see them. Any given moment, they could be blue or white like clouds, or, you know, basically they had camouflage. So here he is realizing that he's having an experience. This thing says, we are beings from another world. When I realized that, as I said, about 30 to 40 minutes had gone by, the entity says, we're going to suspend the communication because we want this person to land at the airport safe and sound. When are we going to speak again? Or will we have time to return? Entity says, we don't know when. Very soon, or perhaps never, because time is not a factor to us. We do not take time into account for us. Time doesn't exist. The last thing that was interesting to me was this entity said that they couldn't say they were from a planet because they can go to any planet. It's kind of like, that's what I'm trying to find. It was so interesting. It just reminded me of popping in. If you could travel interdimensionally, you know, because I always say that humanity to exist longer than our sun, we're going to have to leave the solar system. Not if you can pop into different dimensions, you know? So that's actually probably makes more sense to learn about that than flying through space.
That's kind of my take on aliens. Like, I don't know if they are beings from like light years away or if they are just alternate dimension humans that have figured out how to travel through the multiverse. So that's kind of my stance on aliens, a little bit more than like, hey, there's little green men in like flying saucers. It's kind of like, okay, they're probably dimensions that have developed technology better than ours right now and are using that.
I think when it comes to the message, that's where I'm a little skeptical of it. Because it's like you said, Willie, it's like, yeah, these are just like anyone would say these things, right? Like, stop, oh, you're really creative and stuff. But like, yes, maybe stop all the wars and shit. Like, especially in the 70s when it's like hippy dippy. I don't know what Mexico was like in the 70s. I assume it was a lot like America, right? They probably had, I mean, maybe not because I don't know. But like the thing that pisses me off about all these stories is they're always like, stop killing yourself. But then they're like, you're really creative. And I just don't know why any alien would say that. Like the headline is war will get you nowhere. So then why throw in this, like, you know, you guys are nice and good too.
Especially when it's just like, it's so blanket with, I'm not that they need to offer suggestions, but it's like, it's just like telling a dog to stop fighting with another dog. The fuck you guys doing?
And also, like, I'm just thinking of like 1976. These guys have no concept of time. So they just show up and are like, stop. I mean, I guess there's been no time in the history of Earth where we haven't been at war, right? Like, we've always been doing that. So I guess they would have been right no matter when they showed up. But like, 76 was not like a fucking tumultuous.
I know that nuclear testing was constantly going on, but like, nuclear war, no.
Yeah, and like Vietnam's over, right? And like that's a very like American centric. I'm sure there was a shitload of fucking shit happening all over, and like who knows what Mexico was into. I'm scrolling through events of 1976, and like nothing is like jumping out to me, you know.
There's one more thing that I forgot to mention when he was speaking with this entity. He was like, tell me the position of the aircraft, because he's like concerned where this thing is, and it's like it's flying south of your airport over the sea. Just over the sea. And he goes over the tower window. He gets up to his chair and starts looking. And they're like, no, don't look for us. You can't see us. And he was like, that's weird that you can see what I'm doing, you know? So that was the only other weird part of it, was that made this guy a believer, was like, this thing knew I got up and was looking out the window.
I forgot a little bit of this, or maybe you didn't say. He's training to be a pilot. And so this is like, what kind of plane is this?
It's a little Cessna.
Yeah, a little Cessna with no real calibration for long flights was how the video made it seem. Like, there was no way he should have been able to like get to where he got because he didn't have the navigation equipment.
Man, I just wonder, yeah, fuck, what is this? What is it? It's crazy.
I love that there's physical evidence behind this whole thing. And so here's the thing. It's the perfect storm of a great paranormal story because there's physical data behind it. But then, yeah, who fucking cares about the message? Like, tell us, you know, if you, and they also say that, that one day we might step in. I'm like, that just makes people not act.
It's funny that you're just like negging the aliens for not giving us like the directions on how to be like good. What did they do with the plane? I'm sure you don't know. Did they?
The plane, when the plane landed, it was such a weird thing. And they were, you know, a search had already begun for this guy. So it was so weird that they really were trying to investigate it. And so they checked out the plane. They, you know, made sure it was the same one. And that's when they saw that he had a full tank and which is weird because the alien at some point was like, we need to land this guy. He's like, well, but he still had gas. You didn't actually have to land him. So that's a weird call to action to end the conversation. I mean, maybe their powers were going away or whatever.
Yeah. You know, maybe he was exiting the window or something of how they could, I don't know. Like, could well, be anything.
Die after 40 minutes of you know, whatever. Yeah. But they checked it all out and it was the plane. There was nothing wrong with it. Nothing weird with him.
By 1976 standards, though.
Right. By 1976 standards, which is like probably about the time Harrison Ford was getting his pilot's license.
Who's the president of Mexico? Just that basic question.
Well, I mean, for like the psychological evaluation that they did after, you know, like it'd be different in today's age if they're like, okay, we tested this guy and we know a lot about the chemistry of the brain and like schizophrenia. Like, who knows what 1976 Mexican like psychiatric tests were like, you know?
Right. Yeah. What are we saying? Schizophrenia would be the thing.
Schizophrenia, but also testing for what's the thing called when you're up in the air too high and don't get enough oxygen?
I don't know. That has a name.
They tested for that because, like you know, if you go too high and you don't have enough oxygen, you get into
altitude sickness. Is that all you mean?
They say that you can
because you can hallucinate on that.
Yeah.
You don't get enough air or whatever, and you start hallucinating, and then think you die. I don't remember. But
you could, or you could come up with shit. You know, that's what they did test for that, and he was fine.
I don't really like his comments later saying that, like, I don't want to talk about it because they took my body. That just seems like...
No, he did talk about it. The interview is very long. He's not on their side.
What happened to him? Did he just lose time? Like, when did he become conscious again?
I think that the whole thing, conversation took about 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got to, he was like, wow, where am I? He just could only see ocean. And he thought he fell asleep. He eventually saw land and landed. Like, they have his transcripts also, but it's very boring. And
So he lost time.
Yeah. He basically said, if you didn't tell me anything happened, I would have thought I just fell asleep, which is also scary, too. Fell asleep and woke up 300 kilometers away.
I mean, that's the beginning of a great story, right? I would love for that to happen to me. If I fell asleep and I woke up in Vegas, I'd be like, this is interesting. I wonder what happened.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, so where are you guys at with this? Like, it's intriguing. Like, it just bumps up with the lore of everything that we've talked about for 10 years a little bit, right? Yeah. Because if aliens are capable of just like taking control of someone and talking through them, I don't know that I don't think there's ever been a topic that we've done. I know that we talk about star seeds and people can channel and stuff like that, but I don't really believe any of that stuff.
But that's them, like, pushing the issue. This person got taken control of, a conduit, right? Microphone, whatever.
So, like, there's no reason to not believe him, right? And this German thing, I don't know. What do you think? Was it real? Was it aliens?
It's weird to me how many different parts of the story support how crazy it is. You know, this air traffic controller being smart enough to start quizzing this creature.
Yeah, but you don't think... That feels like hoax kind of material to me, where I just feel like if you're an air traffic controller and there's a plane, I don't know that you interview the pilot. Don't you just go like, oh, shit, like we need to land this plane?
Hold on. I got some things to say.
Like, yeah. I this guy says he's an alien. I got a 40-minute interview.
I'm fascinated by it. And I love the idea of, you know, this would be a great movie if you found out this happened a couple other times and you put it together and you see that it was actually one long message and they don't have any concept of time. So they actually didn't know they were jumping around time. And, but you know,
that's we already told you that. Why are you asking us again?
I already proved to you I knew German. Huh? What are you talking about?
What happened to the air traffic controller? Does he still talk about it? Is he dead?
No, he's alive. He talks about it a lot. I think at least the video that I watched about this, he was continuing like throughout the years to do interviews on it and kept kind of like, I don't know, like maybe using it to turn his 15 minutes of fame into 30 minutes of fame. But he was writing it for quite a while.
He also said that he didn't write it for a long time because he was afraid of losing his job, and his daughter was a pilot too. So I think when he got older, he started talking about it a lot more.
I think that's why like the interview was like 2012 or something, right? Because yeah. He felt comfortable about talking about it after his job was no longer in jeopardy.
He also said that he witnessed a few other things that were pretty crazy, and it made him go like, wow, this is real. You know, I don't remember specifically his, but there, you know, there've been some other ones of, in this one specific video I sent, there were a couple other stories of UFOs showing up around airplanes from around the same time. One in Australia, one in Mexico a year earlier. Both situations, the UFOs took control of the plane, but didn't have any communication. I can't believe that this story hasn't gotten out at all. And so this guy also said this air traffic controller was going to go tell J. Allen Hynek because he was in town. He was the guy doing Project Blue Book. And he's like, oh, this guy's in town. I got to go tell him the story. He says that he got approached by Men in Black. He didn't know what Men in Black were. He's like, these two diplomatic vehicles boxed me in. These four identical blonde people came out that all had the same voice and were telling me to stop talking about it. And then when he went to go try to tell J. Allen Hynek, those same guys showed up and stopped him from talking with J. Allen Hynek, which is crazy.
The air traffic controller guy said that?
Yeah.
So he did this interview in 2012, but there's nothing that you guys have seen online since that of him.
No.
But he's still around. He's probably got a book or something. But I wonder about that because in the early days of this podcast, I would always say like, well, if they have a book, that just means they're just like trying to sell something. But if I had a weird experience and I was like shouting, like someone pay attention to me, I don't know how else you would do that.
What do you think, Chris? What do you lean towards in this realm?
I love it. I don't know. I feel like all of these types of stories are very similar for me where I want it to be true. I do.
You want to believe.
I do.
X-Files.
I just don't know if there is enough like hard evidence to firmly say that this did happen like that. I hope so. It'd be rad if it did. When I think about this stuff, sometimes all of the big alien stories that you hear are all like pre-camcorder and pre-cell phone and all of that shit, right? So it's like, okay, is that because it's not real, or is that because they're smart enough to know that technology is advanced enough at this time to catch them and they don't want to be caught? So there's, you know, like a lot of that stuff when I think about these stories from like, you know, like the 50s or this video focused a bunch on shit that happened in the 70s, which was before anyone was able to like record visuals, like before common people were able to record visuals on an everyday level. So it's like, why are all these stories happening then and none of them are like being documented now? I don't know. I'd like to believe. I don't know. That's my stance with all of this shit.
Yeah.
I want it to be true and I just don't know.
A message from any sort of entity would be put on a pedestal, especially after the fact. So it's kind of cool that it's just there isn't that much to it also in the same vein where it's just like, well, yeah, what could they specifically say? Like, you know, they did mention nukes and killing ourselves, but this story is fascinating because there's so much official data, the radar stuff.
Here's what like really makes me frustrated by this and everything else that we talk about. We'll say this happened, that it's not a hoax, that this all happened. There's not someone in charge in Mexico that says like, we should look into this. Like this deserves like a lot of attention. Why isn't there like a fucking committee set up to like figure out? That's why I hate all this stuff, because it's just like, oh, yeah, all this crazy shit happened. But like, you know, nobody ever did anything about it.
If there was a committee, would it be public, though? Or would it be like everyone suspects with the U.S. government, where it's like all classified and behind closed doors?
Right. Yeah. It's either classified or it's only classified because they already know all this stuff. And they're like, well, okay, we'll just like, it's so frustrating. It's like, I don't know. I guess that's why it's a mystery or whatever. But
so to me, there's this weird thing too, where like governments have been fine pushing the narrative that there's nothing to this, you know? And it's like, well, if they knew, they would say that. If it wasn't real, they would say that. So it's just, it doesn't help you on either side, except knowing that the best stories come from other countries because ours are under lock and key.
Right. I mean, I feel like Mexico would be even worse with that, right? I don't really know a lot about Mexico, but it doesn't seem like they're above board with like, I just, their government is not, they're super corrupt, right? It's all just like money and drugs. And thinking in like 1976, I don't know. It just feels frustrating. Like if I'm the air traffic control guy and in 2012, I like do this interview, just trying to figure what would the end goal of doing that interview be? You know, raise awareness. What was it? What was it even on? Was it who was interviewing him?
It seemed like a TV show.
Yeah.
It seemed like, because the video that I watched, they were pulling clips of him in person. So I think it was on some TV show, whether that was like a daytime, try to be dramatic type of show or like an actual news station. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it could have been like their version of Unsolved Mysteries or whatever. And they're just like, here's a bunch
of, I will say, I was impressed with the Mexican government / military for, they released this one video late 90s, early 2000s, I believe. My time frame could be a little off, but where their military planes caught these UFOs in the sky that you could only see under infrared, and they're talking about it, flipping it on and off, and they like released it to the world. They're like, this is crazy, we don't know what this is. And I find that to be very responsible. Like, here's some crazy shit that if we hide this, it's irresponsible because this could affect the whole world. So I always like that they were more open than us.
And this guy's still alive too? Both of them are still alive? The pilot and the air traffic controller?
I'm not sure. As of 2012, yes. That's why I brought up those other YouTube things that brought up the story recently, because they found this and put it out there. They're scouring for stories like this, but they did a good job of putting their research together.
What if it was just disco? What if they're just like, we hate disco, but they didn't have a word for it? So they're like, stop doing that. We don't like it.
The beat actually affects my brain waves.
Yeah. I don't like the pulsating rhythms. And then we did. We got rid of disco successfully. Like, disco's gone.
Kind
of. Well, what's a contemporary disco? What would be concerned? What would be considered right now like a disco equivalent?
Well, disco house movement's coming back.
Disco. That's exactly what I was going to say, too.
But is that just samples? Is that just old disco repurposed?
No, it's some of that, but it is some new music taking elements of 70s disco and combining them with elements of house music.
I like disco more than house. I don't understand house.
I like both, and I do like disco house. And then even in mainstream, like Dua Lipa, for instance, she was borrowing very heavily from a lot of the disco era type of beats and melodies and stuff like that. So it's not completely dead. So maybe as disco house,
They might be coming
more
back.
Popular. They'll come back. Yeah.
They'll come back. They'll anyway, take another pilot and be like, you didn't listen.
We warned you. We said you were killing each other. Didn't you get it? It's the music.
Oh man, I just like, I mean, I love this. I especially love that they're like, yeah, we'll come back. Like, if it gets out of hand, we'll come back and we'll step in. Cause I would love for that to happen. Just aliens coming down and just like locking everything down and going like, no, fucking yeah, guys.
I will say, I know that this comes out past this date, but Stephen Greer said that within 72 hours of like a day or two ago, that there was going to be a huge whistleblow UFO shocking thing come out soon. So for us, within the next couple of days, supposedly there's supposed to be some big. And I'm like, you know, it sucks because there's always something big and it never is. So I'm excited to see what happens.
It's not going to be anything. It won't be anything. And also Stephen Greer, like what has he ever done that gives him any sort of like
credibility?
Yeah. Credibility. Yeah.
Well, shit always comes out when they're trying to hide other stuff, right?
I know, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is the worst time for more alien shit to be happening because we've got a bunch of other stuff going on.
I mean, some people think that Stephen Greer's part of the misinformation campaign. Like, he was the one that brought all these people together to whistleblow to Congress what was going on back in 2001. And the reason why they didn't continue is because 9/11 happened. But like, leading up to it, not only is there trillions of dollars missing with Rumsfeld and whatnot, we're about to get the biggest UFO information in the world and then fucking rug pull. Like,
well, so yeah. do you think that 9/11 was a distraction for alien shit?
No, I don't. But I can be on the side of people that think that he was a distraction for 9/11 to happen.
Wait, why would you need a distraction before 9/11 happened?
It was all about the missing money that was unaccounted.
That stuff I just don't care about.
It was trillions of dollars, right?
I don't know.
The government is missing trillions of dollars, and then the plane that hit the Pentagon hit the room that had the information. You know, I'm not going to get into it, but...
Right. We don't want it to be a 9/11 show, but, like, it's just it doesn't seem to me that you would need either of those.
Yeah.
If you're hiding trillions of dollars, like, then you're powerful enough to just make that go away. Like, no one's going to fuck with you. Just kill them.
Yeah. When he said that that it was missing, like, meeting was over and everything was fine. You know, I mean, nobody said, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The thing that's sad is this message is lost because it regular people feel the same way. So, like, if you're trying to get a message to the people in charge.
Yeah, but you could be inciting a sort of, you know, revolution, or you could be like a grassroots kind of like, hey, man, like you should stand up to these guys or whatever. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, if you're an alien and let's say this, like Willie's an alien and he's traveling around in a spaceship and he goes to this planet and like all the green people are killing all the red people. And it's like a Star Trek episode and he's Captain Kirk. But you can only take control of like this one pilot who's like not even really a pilot. And say like, hey, well, red people and green people should get along. We're all the same. Like, it's like a shitty way to do like, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool, man. I'll do that. I
will say the Men in Black stories associated with this and other Men in Black stories really reminds me. I'm glad you said Star Trek. Really reminds me of Star Trek trying to go to a planet and put on disguises and be like, oh, we got to.
Hey. They do that.
Don't talk to this guy. Yeah, they try to stop.
They do that in Star Trek? That's funny. So it's like William Shatner, but he's like in disguise somehow?
I know the newer ones did it. Whenever it was Shatner and them, they just tried to remain hidden. You know,
I would think they would just like, as a writer, I'd just be like, they have a cloaking thing. And they just cloak. Because I don't want to deal with it.
That's what the newer writers are doing. The older ones being like, you know, it's usually just an outfit change. And hide Spock's ears.
Well, there's one thing in this that I like keep coming back to, right? In regards to the message or just messages in general, where earlier you guys were saying like, oh, it's never anything super important or like life-changing, right? But I'm sure you guys have talked about this on other shows or at least seen videos about it. But like, there's that theory that we are being tested before we're brought into like a higher collective.
Yeah. Like the Federation or whatever.
The galaxy.
Yeah. So like
the council.
So they can't really like come in and tell us how to do it or like sway it too much, because then it's not really
us being responsible.
Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like maybe these messages are just like gentle pushes in the right direction without like cheating.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes.
Oh, you know what it is? It's you guys know the Truman Show?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like when that guy like skydives in to be like, Truman, it's all fake or whatever. Like that's what these aliens are doing. They're going like, guys, like it's fake or whatever. But then they're like swept away.
Yeah.
This is like some rogue alien going like, I'm gonna fucking tell those guys.
Oh, and he got reprimanded by his
He's in jail. He's in jail for sure.
I have to go now. Shit.
Yeah, that would be why he was only able to like talk for 40 minutes or whatever.
Exactly. He's never been back. Yeah.
Holed up in his little alien closet controlling a human, and they're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, and they harvested his organs, which is that's what capital punishment is for aliens. They harvest your organs and put you in a new alien. God, I mean, maybe that's the best explanation. Just like some rogue alien was like, I'm gonna take control of these guys. Or it could be a teen prank alien who's just like, you know, like, I'm just going to take control of these guys, and I'm going to tell them some weird shit.
I love that idea, because then it like lends explanations to shit that we can't explain. Like, oh, spontaneous combustion. Like, oh, watch them try to figure this out.
it's also just like, you guys are creative and fun. Like, you're giving us nothing here. You're creative and fun, but stop doing war. I don't know. It sounds like a shitty teen would say that. Some shitty high teen. He gets high with his friend and like mind manipulate some poor pilot. Why do you think this isn't a bigger, like, I guess that's, I'm going back to like my whole thing of like, and yeah, maybe the government's like took over and like stamped it out or whatever, but like, why isn't it a bigger thing? Like, why is there no credence behind this? Like what in 1976, this thing happened and it's fucking bizarre. And no news team was like, we should look into this. There wasn't one like responsible journalist who was like, this is fucking crazy. I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Until recently, every other UFO story, I feel like they basically have orders to not make that a story.
Who? You know? Journalists? Well,
like for a long time, if a journalist did a story on some sort of UFO or some sort of sighting, they had to have a follow-up the next day, which is like, oh, here's what it was. Otherwise, it wasn't news. And I think because your government and your military is saying there's nothing to this.
But that's like a shitty, you're talking about the shitty, just like, oh, this happened. Here's footage. We don't know anything. I'm talking like deep throat, like fucking, you know, what was the hotel? The Nixon Hotel.
Watergate.
Jesus fucking Christ. That wasn't like, you don't just say like, hey, some guys broke into a hotel, and then the next day, like, do a correction that was like government funded. You dig in. That's the whole point of journalism, is like, you're supposed Mexico to be like a detective.
Wasn't a story.
Why wasn't it a story? I don't understand. A plane appeared where nobody knew it was going to be, and it didn't have enough fuel to make the flight from where it took.
Like, this sounds like there's a couple newspaper articles about it, but like, if you don't have any other information, then you can't, as a journalist, just speculate anything, you know. So, and I know, you dig in,
you fucking like talk to all the people and figure out what happened. I just don't. That's my problem with like all of these things, is there's not like a responsible journalist in any of these things that we've ever talked about that like kind of got to the bottom of it. I mean, I guess that's maybe why we're talking about it, but like, it pisses me off.
I mean, in this case, right, it's probably because it didn't even come to light until like 40 years later.
Yeah.
They did. I mean, in the video, they did say, they did threaten the air traffic controller guy to not tell anyone about it. Otherwise, he was at risk of losing his job.
Wait, who did that?
Right when it happened, like as soon as it was over, they did their medical evaluations of the pilot, and then the military and all the people that had part of this was that while the dude was talking to the supposed alien, more and more people were coming into the air traffic to the tower to listen to what was going on. And then at the end of it, they told him, don't tell anyone about this or your job and maybe more is at stake. So that's why he was quiet about it until he retired or whatever it was 40 years later. So I feel like in this case, people didn't follow up. Journalists didn't follow up because it was some possibly true story that happened 40 years prior. And I don't know how difficult it would be to get records of something that happened in some random airfield from 40 years before.
Yeah, I guess I'm just assuming that they knew about it at the time, which is like a dumb assumption, right? Like,
but they intentionally tried to bury this to the public when it happened, at least according to the air traffic controller.
Yeah. If these guys are both alive, like, I don't understand why we don't just reach out to them. Like, that's within our capabilities. Like, there's the internet. Like, why don't we just become the journalists and reach out to both these guys and be like, hey, fucking, what's the deal, man?
Yeah, that's next show.
We both have journalism degrees, Willie. Like, we're trained for this. We've never put it into action.
Yeah, I'll reach out.
See, it's probably because we're lazy.
Like, I'm always like, in these situations like this, I'm like, oh, I'll throw $100 at him if that'll help.
Why do you gotta pay him? You're gonna pay him shit, man. Just fucking reach out to him and be like, what's up?
No, tell I know. About this. Dude, I've reached out.
No good journalist pays for information.
So many people that I'm in my head, I'm like, well, I'll throw money if they say no, but we don't even get no's.
I'll do it for $100.
Well, y'all are going to need to hire a translator, right? If all you know is,
oh, fuck,
is library and shoe store or whatever it
is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, he's got to learn true. English by now, right?
Yeah, man, fuck. I don't know. Maybe we should be more proactive about these things. Maybe that's the point of this show. After 10 years, we figured out, like, we could like reach out to these people. I don't know, but that's so much fucking work. It's a whole different deal. I know we've asked you a bunch of times, what are your thoughts? But like, just to wrap up, like, where does this leave you? You've watched the videos. Does it change your perspective of anything? Like, how prone are you to believe this? Or is it just kind of like a funny thing that you can talk about at parties? Or like, I don't know, like, where do you stand?
I'd like to believe it. What I struggle with is like, the why of it, like, yeah. why that pilot at that specific time with that one specific air traffic controller. If you could hypnotize anyone and take control of them and get your message out there, why this one random 23-year-old Mexican flight student and that one air traffic guy?
A little bit of research, yeah.
There would be more, like, there'd be a better way, like, there, whatever. They said, this is not your pilot, that we're using him as a microphone, right? There are much bigger microphones with much bigger audiences out there that they could have chosen.
God, you know what the best would be, though, is if, like, they jump into, like, 1980s, like, America, and, like, they just take over Ronald Reagan, and he's like, I'm not Ronald Reagan now, I'm an alien, and I'm just a microphone. Like, people would be like, what happened to him? He would immediately be in a fucking loony bin.
Yeah. What do you mean? I didn't do that.
So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, is like, it's awesome and I love it and it's super interesting, but I don't understand why they would have picked that one pilot to be the instrument.
Even
for the message.
Picking that plane, you know, yeah, totally. Yeah.
There are much more logistical choices to get your message out there if that's what you want to do. So that's where I like keep running into a wall with it, is like, why that guy? Like, yeah. I'd love for it to be real. And this is more interesting than a lot of them to me, because how did he get 3 hours south on 90 minutes of fuel without like having the training or the tools to get there? Like, that's super interesting to me. And it's fun talking about it and watching the video. Oh, just it. And the video was super entertaining to me, but I just like, I don't, know how much I believe it just because I don't get the aliens' motivation behind it, if that makes sense. Like, weird guy to pick, you know, just some random 23-year-old flight student in 1976 Mexico doesn't seem like the best choice for trying to enact change in humanity.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if you were going to hoax this, if you were like, okay, let's do a hoax where I'm gonna fly a plane and we'll say that, like, I wind up like 3 hours later, whatever. The way to pull that off would be like, okay, so you take off from Acapulco, and then we'll like find you, and then we'll do this whole German thing, just German English thing and stuff, and that way you'll have full. But you say there's records of it, so like, what are there, like, flight? Are there like actual flight? I know we gotta wrap this up.
Yeah, the instructor, like, I'm pretty sure the instructor saw him take off, or
yeah, but he could be in on it. I'm just saying, like, in a hoax. Yeah, yeah. You just need all these people to agree, unless there's an actual document of like, okay, yes, he took off here, because otherwise it's unexplainable, right? So it definitely happened.
Yeah. Could be twins.
Twin
could
planes.
Speak German. Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's wrap this up. Willie, you got any like kind of final thoughts or anything?
This is a fascinating story. I'm glad it got pulled out and it's going viral, because it's like, okay, let's find all the other ones. Because within this story too, there's like three other stories that are not as good but pretty fun. And going like, okay, well, how do these all just get brushed aside? And to do any research now of old stuff, it's funny because there actually is more records to look at of things happening, like these other two planes where the UFOs like were on them. There's radar data and eyewitness accounts. Just a couple other stories that happened, one 1975 and then one in Australia, where these planes, UFOs circled them and then took control of the plane.
Oh,
just saying, like they have evidence of these things happening and the craft showing up on radar and then disappearing. I'm like, there's a lot of stuff out there. And so my final closing thoughts on all this is like, holy shit, this is kind of cool to reevaluate everything with the mindset of UAPs could be real. That's why I like UAP coming out, because it's like, well, here's some unexplainable thing that happened. What are the other stories? And what does it mean? You know, like what should we be doing? I just always feel like it could help us.
Stop. I'm gonna stop you right there. I know. Yeah, we all gotta fucking love each other and blah blah blah. It's never gonna happen, Willie. Stop fucking pining for it. We're gonna burn this world down, and we're gonna all go down with it, and that's the end. There's not gonna be a thing where we all fucking kumbaya and shit.
Come on.
Chris Qualls, I want you to plug the one song that you're super proud of that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, and you'll get that little RLSF bump. You got one?
Yeah, amazing. Well, you should check out the song Rosarito by the band So What Who Cares. I'm picking that one not only because I love it, but because it's the most recent, and that makes the most sense as far as a song to plug right now. So Rosarito by So What Who Cares. It's a fun, sarcastic, indie pop jam with like a little bit of new wave influence. Fun lyrics, big hooks, kind of like a little bit of a Cars influence, but also at the same time like very modern. So
this sounds totally up my alley. Stay tuned. Go to patreon.com/freelifesci-fi. We're going to continue this conversation with our friend Chris Qualls about his switching universes story, which is maybe more interesting than this Mexican pilot. I do love the Mexican pilot. It's hard not to think that they're not all hoaxes. It's hard not to like figure out how this would be a hoax. I want to believe. I want to be X-Files about it, but God damn it, there's no traction. That's the problem. There's just no traction.
I like trying to figure out the hoax too, just to see like, oh, they could have done it this way. I do appreciate that too.
Well, I like heists and shit, and like that would be fun to like hoax someone into believing that I saw an alien. I think that would be a lot of fun.
You can get anything you want done if you get some twins in on it.
Twins is the answer. You got to get twins in. All right.
My producer Instagram is Nightshade Music. So if you care and want to follow me there, cool, I guess. I don't know. I'm not too wrapped up on the social media world. So follow me or don't. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. The world's going to end. Go ahead and fucking...
We're all going to die. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter. So what?
Fine.
Who cares?
Blah, blah, blah. Gen X, Nirvana, and shit. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Patreon.com/FreeLifeSciFi. And Chris Qualls, thank you again. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. See you next time.
Bye.
Last year it was Nirvana. Wrapped up in a heart-shaped box. Hit pause, then I messed it up. Damn it, I did it again. Such a poser. JK, I didn't mean it. I'm caught up in my feelings. Late night, I shouldn't let you in. But damn it, I did it again. I gotta find a way to get you back. I gotta find